Israel, and God has have really been a blessing. And he is a blessing to us today. Our message today is God is for us. God is for us. You know, if we're not careful, the old enemy who's accusing the brethren, he may make us think, because we are going through some difficult times, that it's because God is not really for you. And the thing about that, and that is so true, because that is the reason that God writes to us in his word about different topics. So don't think when you hear a topic and it's in the word of God, God already know he need to inform us about this topic. So therefore, the Holy Spirit wrote on that topic. So no matter what we think, or whether we think at all about the things of God, the writings in this love letter have the topics of life. And so when God decides to tell us something, he has his own reasons for doing that. And if we carry that with us in our reading of God's word or hearing of God's word, God wrote down what he wanted us to hear, and he has reasons behind it. And if we would approach God's word that way, and when we heard the word of God speaking to our hearts, we will understand in God's mind there was a reason that these things must be put in print, that we may read these things and be blessed by them. Because if we don't perceive it that way, and we move from topic to topic, from character to character, biblical characters, their stories and everything they did, and how their faith in God, how they trust God, these things are for the reader. These things are for you and I, that we may also glean from it, but also know the thinking of God about certain topics. He writes about mothers and fathers, children, their responsibilities, all these things. Is that it was on the mind of God first before it became in print. Write about preachers, pastors, evangelists, all these kind of things he write about because it was in his mind. So if I take it that once I look at it on the pages, it started in the mind of God. So it started in the mind of God. He put it in the Bible. So when I read the Bible, I'm reading the mind of God. I'm reading what he think and what he think of us. Therefore, he communicate to us through the word of God. But if I don't see it that way, it's going to be like a daisy, you know. But it's not going to be if I say, okay. You know, it's just like somebody telling you, say, you know, someone they love or someone they highly respect. They say, you know what? I'm not there with you. I'm somewhere else. But write me a letter or text me or email me today. I need this information from you, boss man, or whoever that person may be, a wife, a husband. And they text you or email you or write you, and you need to get that information, and you want it coming from them. So when you're waiting on it, and beep, whatever go off in your phone, you know, you got a message, and boom, you look at that message. Now, as you are reading that, you are reading the thoughts of the individual who you're waiting on to hear from. When we read the word of God, if you got expectation, and if you in the waiting room or waiting to hear from God, when we read God's word, I want you to know you are hearing from God. I want you to know God is speaking his mind through his word. This is the way God have chosen to communicate with us. Now, I took the time to say all of that because more the preach word of God or your devotional reading of the word of God, when you read it from the right perspective, it will help you more. But if you read it as just an old good book with Bible stories, it's not going to penetrate you. It's not going to do for you what God intends for it to do. Okay? All right. Today we'll be looking at Romans 8, 31 to 39. The emphasis in this final section in the book of Romans is on the security of the believer. So we do not need to fear the past, the present, or the future. My God. We do not need to fear the past, what's in the past, what's going on right now, and what will go on. How many know that God got the past, the present, and the future all covered? Because everything present to him. Now the reason for that is because we are secure in the love of Christ. Paul presented five arguments to prove that there could be no separation between believer and the Lord. You know, the things I said in the introduction, they are very important. And if you fail to carry it in with you when we get into the word of God, you're going to miss out on some things. No matter how spiritual we think we are, no matter how close to God we think we are, in the mind of God, which is the greatest mind, he says, even though I've saved these folk. Oh, yeah. That's why you're here. Am I right about it? You know the Lord as your Savior. He said, even though I saved these folk, these same folk need to know that they're secure. Just because they're saved, it don't mean they ain't going to have no problem. They're not going to have some insecurity. They're not going to be bothered by the world. See, if they live godly, you shall suffer persecution. We didn't mean that you're going to glide through persecution. He said you're going to suffer. And suffering is not easy. I don't care who you are. Christ said, why do thou forsake me? Why do you forsake me? Why do you turn your back on me? Gethsemane, suffering. Glands are bursting. Wanted company. You see, when you're suffering, you want a friend. Jesus wanted somebody around him. Am I right about it, Sheila? See, so don't get too more spiritual than Christ. He said, I'm going through something now. And those who are not that close to me, you love me, but you're not in that little inner circle with me. That you really care about me. So I'm going to take the three a little closer in the garden with me. And right now I got to talk to my Father about my situation. My situation is a dark hour is coming for me. I know I came to do this. But I want to show you my humanity and my divinity. And I want to show you I'm about to be separated for a minute. I don't know sin, but I'm going to become sin. Because I'm going to become the sin bearer of the world. And just thinking about that, it brings pressure on me. That however that pressure could be on our Lord, I can't articulate it. I can't tell you what kind of pressure it was. But like I said, what's written is for us to know. What's written was on the mind of God about the feelings of our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was hurting. And he said, I want a friend. I want you to come near. Pray with me. Don't go to sleep on me. Don't walk by me. Touch me. Let me know. I know I'm the spiritual one. I know I'm the Son of God. I know I was the agent of creation. I know I'm the agent of keeping the chaos. I won't let y'all, the world, go. So therefore, the chaos wouldn't happen. I know who I am. But I don't know sin and the darkness of it, the separation from my Father turning his back on me. I don't know that pain. But I want to express to you that I'm really feeling pain. 3 times I'm going to ask him. So it was dear to my heart. Is there another way? Can you do this thing, God, another way? Can you choose another way to save mankind? Don't let me go through this one. But you handpicked this one that got me on my knees. Got me looking up more than looking down. And I'm still under pressure. I'm feeling this 3 times. Like we like to say, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. But God answered him, no. Not going to remove it. Cannot remove it. Okay. Now. You can answer Father any way you want to answer, but it's up to me to ask. Don't confuse how God gonna answer what you asked him. The answer is God's, but the asking is yours. My God. God, what are you trying to say? God is saying you're going to hurt, you're going to die, you're going to go through things, it's going to happen. But I also need to write to you that you're still secure. I need to tell you something. So Holy Ghost, write Romans 8. Because they need to know this. See, Romans 8 ain't out there until it's written. See, everything got a time it was written. There was a time Romans 8 was not written. Oh, my God. There was a time Acts 8 wasn't written and events Paul won't even say. Come on, y'all. I mean, it's all now. We got it all. I know the canon is complete. I got that. But when you read it in its setting and understand the meaning, oh, my God. Lord have mercy. God got a way of putting your mind on what he went through and all of this. But let's look at some of this now. Let's look at those 5 arguments. The first, let's go, you are secure. Well, God, I don't feel like I'm secure. Feel like sometime, God, I'm going to lose my mind. But you're secure. Feel like, God, what's the use? But you're secure. You keep telling me, God, no matter what I feel, I'm secure. You keep telling me, God, no matter what I go through, but you are secure. It's amazing. Can anybody be honest in the house? It's amazing when you're going through, you don't feel secure. So God says, I got to write this to you. You are. And you got to drop what you believe and pick up what I believe. It ain't about what you say. It's what the Bible say. Huh? And God has a way, even when you're hurting, to humble you. You know, it's never like, God, I don't even want to hurt. Watch this. I don't want to hurt, but I know I need to hurt. I'm not even interested in hurting it, but I know I need to hurt. And if I can just not be there to hurt, I ain't even going to be there. But I need to hurt. You see, a lot of things we don't do, it don't mean we don't need it. We just came up with whatever excuse to salve our flesh. Because the flesh in the spirit will always be in war till we get our new body. Huh? See, there ain't going to be no more fight when I get the new me. The one that's being molded and shaped and pruned to look like Jesus. But right now, as long as I'm in this flesh, you in this flesh, hey, see, the flesh, this old nature ain't going to never be holy. You can baptize it, do whatever you want to do with it. It's never going to be holy, the flesh. God said, I'm going to give you a new body. Huh? Going to look like Jesus. But until then, you're going to go through some things. But you need to know I wrote you some things. So let's look and see what do you want me to know? Okay, let's look at Lordy. All right, y'all gonna help me this morning? Lordy, something about this word of God. You know, I can. You know, sometimes God. I'm saying sometimes, probably most of all the time, God don't pay me no attention. Lord, what? He said, And if I use our vernacular, I'm going to leave that alone, though, because I don't want to talk like that in the pulpit. And I'm not talking about cussing either. I don't want to mess with the Lord like that. Okay, let me get to where I need to be. And what did I tell you? Romans 8. Okay, all right. I got the address here. But I got it. The first point is because God is for us. God is for us. What then shall we say to these things? You know, when you read up further and come down, you'll see what those things were. You know, I'll go to 20, because I'm coming back up to 26. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. There it is when I was talking about the new body. To be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Wait a minute, God, you took us from the beginning of salvation to the end of salvation. The end is glorification. Are you with me? We aren't glorified yet like we're going to be. The new body is waiting on us. But he tell us. He said, you know what? No, it hasn't happened. But if I say it's going to happen, watch this, Danny, and nobody can stop me from it happening, I'm going to write to them that you're glorified. Oh, I know you got to get a little spiritual thinking to pick this one up. But he thought it necessary to let us know, no matter what the situation is, that God is for us and we are going all the way. He says, what then shall we say to these things he's just told us? If God is for us, this is what we should be saying. Who can be against us? All of those things prior to coming here was identifying how much God is for us. And he wrote it that way. He says, okay, now if you add that up, 2 + 2 = 4. You add how much God have done for us, it equals he is for us. Do you see that? And I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to know this when we are hurting. Because there is no other time that is so precious to stay in focus than when you're hurting. See, when you're hurting, you can forget that God is still for you. So God said, I can't keep this in my divine thoughts. I got to put it on the pages for them to read. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. He says, you know, there are some things that are profitable to you that you need to know from the Word of God. Why do I need to know this from the Bible? Why do I need to spend my Sunday mornings scrambling after I done worked all the week trying to get to church? Why do I need? Because there are some things that are profitable to you. There are things that are more profitable to you sitting in here than anything else you or I do. You know I include myself too? Yeah. Okay, I know our flesh make us think that's better or that's more profitable, but it's a lie. See, God cannot lie. Okay, God, I got to let you know the reality of the thing, no matter where you are in this life or what tunnel or what storm or what darkness or how many midnights in your life. But you need to know if you are in Christ, you are secure. But I don't feel secure. You are secure. And I need to let you know this. God is saying, you know what? We know that we are in the hands of God. You know, John 10 tells us that. God says, understand that principle. And though you have to cry, though you have to fall on your knees, though you have to stumble, though you may make mistakes, whatever happened to you, but realize you are doing it in the hands of God. I need to write that. You know, just that thought, not just the reading, John, but the thought, he says, you know what, there is some information I have in my mind that I need to put on paper, that they'll know how I see their life. I need to tell them what I've done for their security. I need to let them know the whole Trinity is involved every day in their life. Oh my God. It's let's move on. The first thing Paul says, God is for us. We see that. Because he gave his best. He gave his best. And two, it says, he who did not spare his own son. See, the one that didn't spare him, that's God. He said, I'm not going to spare him. You know, son, you can pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. I know you're hurting and all of that. And you know the purpose of your coming and all of that. But you were just showing what you were going through in that dark hour for you. And we say, yeah, write it. Write it that you're hurting. Write it that you are asking me to remove it. Write it. Write it. Hopefully when they read it, they can see how much I care for them. Not that I don't care for my only unique one, begotten unique, but it's something about that chief creation. See, we are God's chief creation. See, Christ wasn't created. You didn't create Christ. God did what he wanted to do. God took him about the Holy Ghost. But he says that he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Then it says, how? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He said, right that I did the big thing first. Giving you what I feel you need, that's the little thing. I did the major. Everything you can ask me for is mine on. See, the world didn't ask God to give his only begotten son Jesus on Calvary. God initiated that. John 3:16. That was in the mind and the heart of God. Going back to Genesis 3. He said, Adam, you're going to mess up, but I'm going to fix your mess up. Isn't that like God constantly fixing our mess ups? I don't know about you. Every now and then I mess up. But I'm glad that God will fix my mess ups. See, he cares. He said, I can't just keep all of our care in my head. I got to put it in the Bible, and I'm declaring you need to study, you need to read it, you need to believe it, and then you don't have to guess what God is thinking. He's already spread it on the pages. And he said, then I'm going to give you crazy preachers. If you don't read it, just come, and they're responsible for preaching it to you. See, I call this a shot in the arm. You know, some things you get so down because you ain't taking your medicine, you may have to get a shot. And then get back on your, you know, you done messed up so bad. Come get this shot. Then get back on your regimen of your pills. But right now you need a shot. I need to go right to the vein. You know, God got a sense of humor too, I believe. Now, God will tell me go preach. No, I'm hurting. Preach. God, I don't feel like preaching. I feel like having someone preach to me. Preach. And not only that, Rick, preach that you're secure. God, I don't feel like doing that. Oh, you want to preach what you want that line up with you. No, don't work that way. No. Get up, open the book, and you preach what I give you. See, it ain't never been about you. It's been about me. See, I've been just using you. Now, I can't stop the same way I started it. Now, what you want? God, you got me broken. Look, I'm too broken for this. No, you don't know what broken is, man. Not as I will, but as thou will. Thou will be done. So he says, go. Let my will be done. See, a lot of times, things are not going to come until God's will is done in your life. Know what God's will is for you. And God's will for me may be different than what it is for you. But you know personally what is God's will for your life. And I tell you what, it's better to be in the will of God crying than to be out of the will of God with laughter because you feel you got some success. But all that stuff is temporary. Okay. So God goes to say, because God loves us, man, we are secure. Because Christ died for us, we are secure. And because God has justified us, my Lord, I thank God for that. 33 He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He said, you know what? I don't care what you're going through or what your day looked like. Can't nobody bring a charge against you. Can't nobody bring a charge against you. Steve, do you have Revelations 12 and 10? Can you put that up there for me? Did I give you that? Okay. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. Anybody going to heaven in here? All right, all right. Oh, all right. Amen, amen. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Watch this. This is where I want to go. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Huh? You let Satan know. Man, you ain't hitting on nothing. I know you're in. All I got to do is turn to the back of the Bible. But that's the thing. He's accusing you and me. Yeah, they're supposed to be saints. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them, God. Now, you'd already messed me up, God. I know you, what you're going to do to me and all of that. But I got to accuse them. You call them brethren, huh? They're born again people. But, man, they act like worse. Some of them act worse than the world. They don't care nothing about you, God. I mean, I know I lie. I'm the author of a lie. But you know I'm telling the truth. Look at them. Look at what they're doing, what they're saying about you. They don't care nothing about you. Talking about Christ and God. Satan accusing. But he ain't going to tell him how many times he tempted us to do the other thing. He ain't up there. He accusing you. He telling God what you're doing, no matter he may have tricked you with his subtle self, the snake, old snake. Huh? He may have tempted you. And after you fall in, he run it back telling on you. Wait a minute. I was doing all I could to stay away from that. And the pressure was too great. And then you come in and whispering in my ear, sweet nothings. And but you ain't telling me. You told me to do it. Come on, go on. You don't live on once. Come on now. You know what you're feeling. Come on, come on, come on now. Ain't nobody know but me and you. Great. And now you jump in, he's running back. Hey, look. Come on, God. Well, first of all, God sees all and knows all. He said, that's why I've justified him. See, I paid for all of that stuff. Now, I don't want them to do it after they've been born again. I don't want them to keep indulging in that stuff. I don't want that. And I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. Chastisement. We see that in 1 Corinthians 11. Some sick, some weak. And some, they just won't stop. And they are my children. I got to kill them. I got to take them out of here. Because they're making me look so bad. In time, Satan gets to the point he kill you. Go to the next one. Come on, let me tempt you. Well, Satan, why is it you don't tell me you're not only doing one T, tempting me, but you're telling on me? See, but the word of God, God wrote, let me tell you what I know he's doing. He's accusing you, Charmaine. Wait a minute, I wouldn't have never known that. See, if God didn't tell on him, Oh, y'all don't get this. Hey, God, see, that's why I'm telling you this Bible. Man, I know if you make the Bible all boring and all that kind of thing. I got that. I don't make it boring. But we got to have this word. Wait a minute, man, you mean you trick me and you tell on me? And if you don't read the word of God, you won't see what God telling on him. And you know he was up here accusing you? What you been doing? God, you asked me what I've been doing. You know you already know. you know you already know. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. Okay. But I'm still secure. I need to know that too. Because sometimes when you're in your mess and messed up and Satan accusing you, you feel that you are done. And some are feel that I'm not really saved because they're a continuation. There's a continuation in my life. All right? There's a continuation. God, you something else. Oh, God. God, you're making me preach this, God. And this is, oh, man. Anybody feeling this? I'm just saying, God, you tell, I tell too. I tell them what you're doing. Did you tell them that I'm going to cast you in your cohorts, the false prophet and the beast? I'm going to put y'all all in the pit. See, them demons, when Christ was walking the earth, and them demons say, it ain't time yet for us to go, grant us to go in the swine. See, they knew. They didn't want to go in the pit. That's something else, too. See, that's why the word of God is so powerful. They're telling you there's a place that the demons don't want to go. Huh? Come on, somebody. See, we talk about how bad a character. Oh, I seen a demon. She got a demon in her. The demon. Wait a minute, Jack. God going to tell on them. God said, but there's a place they don't want to go. See, the demons can make some folks holler, scream, and depress and oppress and all kind of mess. And those who are unsaved, he can indwell them. All that mess going on. Like there's such a, I'm legion. Okay, legion your tail in the pit. You are that bad. You talking about a legion. Jump on Christ. Legion that. You that minute, he but one. See, y'all, you talking foolish, Ricks. You don't know who that one is. Oh, I do know who he is. See, one day I bowed to him. Huh? He came and called my name. He knew my name. Ricks, I'm not going to let you be so-called good guy and not use you. I'm coming for you now. What you going to do? I'm coming for your soul. I want to save you this day. When you get off from work and you go back to work, you're not going to be the same. You're going to come to that house and fall down on your knees in the dining room. And you're going to ask me to save you. Because I've been letting you have a good time in life. But I want your life. I want to use it, and when I get it, I want to hold on to it. And as long as I let you stay here, I want to use you for my glory. Well, God, no. I want you now. Playtime is up. When you get up, you ain't going to be the same. And you're going to look back 40-some years you've been serving me. No. You ain't gonna be no fly by night. I was telling the brother today, I felt like coming and resigning. Not because I don't love the Lord. Not because I don't want to keep preaching God's word and represent him. But it's like I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed and I feel that I'm shortchanging the church. See, my love is a little different from most people. And the kind of person I am is a little different. I feel things. Some folk have no feelings, no conscience, the way it seems. Do anything, don't care. I'm not like that. Even when I try to be like that, I can't be like that. Because I asked myself, why are you trying to be like that? That ain't you. That's how I felt. I felt that maybe I need to step aside. You got 30 years in. Let a young buck come. And the church can grow and go. That's how I felt. I said, God, I'm tired. One thing about me, I'm transparent. Other folks, you can play them games. You help yourself with them. Keep your facade. Oh, you do that. No, I don't want no parts of it. That's how I felt. I felt that, you know, and then I just give all my attention to my wife and try to set things up with that. Now, I'm not saying God told me to do that. I said how I feel. And then I have to come and preach this. See, I'm dealing with reality, not play church. I never played church. Folk play church. I guess I could be willing to preach that play church, then nothing matter. But I had it matters to me to try to represent you right, to do it right. It matters. But it don't seem to matter to nobody. It ain't got to be all that. We don't care. Nobody care. You know, just be a pretender. We get some out of the simple tongue. It ain't all that. But I ain't never been like that. I wasn't like that when I was unsaved. But I share that with you. I didn't say that's what God told me to do. But I felt that. I was just so frustrated and so hurt, and it's constant. It's constant. You know, and I'm, you know, trying to get my wife ready and, you know, getting the rollers out of her hair and then trying to comb it when we get in here. And thank God for the people that came and got out my office. And I thank God for armor bearers and those who happen once I get here. And I'm sitting there. Man, it's so crazy what your head, what my head been spinning. And the different things you go through and the different things, you know, and a lot of this stuff is not even real. It just got you in a real situation. Therefore, the enemy can play with your head. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I say I like it that he'll accuse you. But God will tell on him. He wrote here, he accusing you. Oh, yeah. And said, so he'll speak to you. Because he know if I get you, ooh, my God, by proxy, I'm going to take a whole lot of folk down. No, Ricks. If I get you, I can do a ricochet. So y'all pray for me. Pray for your pastor, okay? I'm not saying this for no pity party or nothing. I'm just being real. Ain't no need in getting up here not real. Not even with myself. I hurt just like you hurt. You know, I was reading something. I had never thought about it that way. I think it was Wordsby. And he said, you know, and it brought back to mind some things that some guys that don't want to be pastors, but they want to be evangelists and preachers. They'll tell you, I'm no pastor, I'm an evangelist. He said, it's easier to win soul than it is to watch soul. I had never thought of it that way. He said, it's easier to go in the street, try to win a soul, give a track or whatever like that. You win them, keep going about your business. He said, but it's harder to watch them. You know, watch over their soul. You're stationary. Evangelists travel. You may see them today. You may not see them or whatever like that. Also, the evangelists can complain about the watcher. I said, okay. Now explain to me about some brethren there. I got it. So you guys keep me in prayer. Okay. Because I hope nobody think I was Superman or Christ or nothing like that. I hurt just like you hurt. Okay? But that means we get through it together. Right? That means if I can get through it, you can get through it. We pray for one another. So they're like, hey, you don't know what I'm going through. You are clueless what I'm going through. There are some things I can't even complain about. And God has been good to me. Okay, let me finish this because I hold y'all all day. That way I get some company. All right, where did I stop at? Which one? Okay, yeah, God have justified. God has declared, this is what it is, God have declared us righteous in Christ. Satan would like to accuse us, but we stand righteous in Christ. You see, that's why we try to win souls, and we don't matter about their cults and our cults or whatever people got. We look through that if they don't have Christ, because your righteousness is in Christ. Your justification is in Christ. So if those people feel they're okay outside of Christ, we still give them a track. Because we realize that righteousness is imputed. Righteousness comes from the righteous one. You follow what I'm saying, Charmaine? So no matter what other religion you stand on, we'll still give you a track if you're not standing on Jesus. Because that's where the righteousness comes from. See, you got to be righteous, you go in heaven. You see, the righteous. Meaning that it has been, his righteousness have been, there's a trade-off. We gave him our sin. And in return, we receive his righteousness. See, we are robed in righteousness. All right? Amen. Amen. So we see that. So all of this is because he cared. 34, we see, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who make intercessions for us. Now we see, because Christ intercedes for us. We talked about Satan accusing us, but then Christ is seated to the right hand of the Father saying, what about the blood? When we don't know what to say, Christ is interceding. He's telling God things about us on a constant basis, because he didn't save us and left us here and forgot us. He saved us, left us here to be lights of the world. And yet, when we our struggles, our temptation, our sin, he is interceding for us. See, there's a constant security going on. All right? See, because God already know without us having glorified bodies, we can get ourselves in some troubles. Isn't that right? There's no harmony going on when my body is not glorified, that old nature is not eradicated, and I have the Holy Spirit living in me. But even Galatians tell us there's a war going on. All right, so you know, and sometimes there's a thin line. There's a very thin line between that flesh and spirit. He says that he's interceding for us, but also let's go back to 27. 26 and 27. I'm going to read that down while I'm here. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helped in our what? Weaknesses. And then see, let me tell you something. I'm glad to see this. He is saying just because you are saved, that don't mean you ain't got no weaknesses. there are some weaknesses that saved folk have that only the Holy Spirit can help us with. See, a lot of times you tell folk things that's wrong. You ain't supposed to have no weakness. Where you get that from? That ain't Bible. If you ain't don't supposed to have no weakness, you don't need no helper. You're going to help somebody with something they don't have. If I don't have a toothache, I don't need a dentist. Huh? I tell you, I got eye trouble. So you get me an eye doctor. All right? So here it is. Likewise, the Holy Spirit. Now look at the involvement of the Trinity. The Father gave the Son, the overseeing all of it. The Son interceded, gave his life. And he's interceding to the Father. But then here is the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. So what's happening now? He's helping me, because in my weakness this morning, coming to church this morning, running late and all of that, not knowing whether I'm getting a wreck or what, all that mess going on, that was weakness. But this morning, through the singing of the choir, that last song began to bless my heart. And Lord, how can I do this when you know my heart, when you know what I just said? How can you still use me? You got a helper. See, you were just weak right then. Huh? See, you're going to preach what I'm going to do to you. Huh? I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to enable you. I'm going to undergird you, and you're going to be able to do it. You do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Let's get the real side of this and not just black and white. I said, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm ready to throw in the towel. He said, yeah, I got that if you didn't have no help. Well, Lord, who going to help me? I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, because you, what you going to preach is for you. You going to get a lot of your answers what you going to preach, boy. I know you get weak, Rich. I know it. Got something for it. Got something for it. Got something for it, Sister Duncan. I got something. I put it in the Word. For weakness, Holy Ghost. For weakness, Holy Spirit. What you mean, Holy Spirit? That's your helper. See, when you're strong, you don't need no help. But when you get weak, you may need somebody to come alongside you. When your hands, when they're supposed to be up in the battle, you see them slowly coming down. Somebody come under you. Hold up. Hold up. And all of a sudden you're up. Now do what you got to do. God said, you the man. I chose you. You didn't choose me. But I understand. I like that. Because you would beat yourself up to the max if you thought that, I know I feel so bad. I feel so bad now that I said it. I feel so bad. No. You don't need to feel bad about your weakness. You just need to know you got some help. Talk to me, somebody. No. You got that wrong. Keep reading. You got help. See, you thought you didn't have no help, Rick. You need help. He's called the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost. See, you had no idea you could preach this word. But you're doing it because he helped you. He's undergirding you. He's not through with you. Open the book and read it. I'm weak, God, good. Look at your help. Charmaine, one thing about we get weak every now and then, don't we? Let's tell the truth now. Every now and then, I'm not saying what it is, but we get weak every now and then, don't we? Don't we? Don't we? Don't we? I got news for you. I got news for you. But the Holy Ghost don't never get weak. Ow! Ow! Am I right about it? He don't have natural strength. He got almighty strength. Satan don't have almighty strength. God said, I'm going to identify your help. And I'm going to say, yeah, I know you get weak.
And I'm not even going to hold that against you. Because I'm going to help you get better. Oh, wait on your help. Your help coming. Oh, he's coming. They say, you know what? Holy Spirit said, I like it better when you're weak. Then you show me strong. I want to be seen. Huh? You got to decrease and let Christ increase. He said, you secure. But I'm weak. I'm tired. You secure. And by the way, I'm going to send you some help. You ain't, see, when you say you were weak, you didn't tell us nothing we didn't know. Nothing we aren't observing. But you still can do what I have you to do with Christ strengthening you. Open the book. In weakness. Holy Ghost. In weakness. He said, when you're strong, you don't need me to supply strength. But when you're weak, when you know you ain't got nothing left, where did it come from? Holy Spirit, with all that power living in us, tabernacling in us, dwelling in us, he said, let me help you in your weakness. Tell me. Say it. Say you're weak. Say it. Dare me to help you. Man, I'm telling y'all, this Christian life is real, y'all. If you playing the church and stuff, you would never know it. Oh, everybody go to church. That's where you, no, let's get deeper. No. You can really get in touch with God. You can really know his mind. Okay, God, if I tell you I'm weak, that's my stopping point. Isn't it? Yeah, it would be if I'd had the mind I had to supply you some strength for those times. See, I knew before the time came, that time would come. So therefore, I made some supplies for you for those times. And a lot of times, folk don't know that help is available. A lot of times, we get in big trouble when we don't know the proper help is available. Sheila may know it's available, but help her, but it ain't doing me no good. I don't know it's available. Don't tell me to help Sheila. I need some help, but I don't know what's available. Tell me what's available. Say, someone tell on you. You can't get no help. Because you messed up. Satan, I was weak. Oh. We backing off of now, Satan. See, I know when you are weak, the Holy Spirit will help you in your weakness. See, folk who don't understand the word of God, they heard you say that. Ah! Oh, no. You disqualify. Let me say that again. You just showed you qualify for Holy Ghost help. Something we don't qualify for. You make too much money. But you qualify. If you get weak, you save, you qualify for Holy Ghost help. And his help is always available. It's 26 and 29. Now watch this. Let me go back over there. I got to let y'all go now. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself make intercession for us, just with groaning. Now look at this divine articulation with groaning, which cannot be uttered. We don't fully understand it because it's divine utterance. It's divine articulation about what's going on. But that's okay because I want to let you know. I want you to know what's going on your behalf. See, this is where everybody that says should be interested in what I'm preaching because this is for our benefit. This is part of our benefit packet. Okay. Cannot be uttered. Man, boy, they still at work with us. You know, saved us. We're under the blood. And you're still doing all of this? Yeah, I'm still doing all this. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. See there? According to the will of God. It's the will of God that the Holy Spirit intercede on my behalf, in your behalf. And like it would be enough if Christ was just interceding for me. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you ain't going to do this by yourself. Huh? I'm another person of the Godhead. We work in unison. I'm going to do it too. Huh? Oh, my God. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me move on. Did I do 34? 35, but we're just going to read through this because I got to go. It's got good to me in this. Okay. Where did I stop at? 34? Okay. Who is he who condemns? Man, he make a broad statement. Bring him on. It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the what? The love of Christ. See, we are glued to the love of Christ. We are welded to the love of Christ. And there's nobody, Satan or nobody, can separate us from the love of Christ. He said, okay, wait a minute now. Share tribulation. Now, I'm in trouble. Man, I got tribulations stacked up on top of tribulation. Yeah, you may have them, but it ain't separating you. Or distress. I am distressed. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm distressed. I'm depressed. Everything going on with me. Okay, that ain't going to do it. That ain't going to separate you. That don't have the key. It don't have the key. Or persecution. I'm being persecuted by this, that one, and whatever. Seems like everybody just, you know, I mean, I'm just messed up. Everybody want to persecute. The dog, boy, want to bite me. The cat, you know, he messing up my house. Everything that's going on, I'm just being persecuted by everybody, family, everybody. That ain't going to do it. Tell me what you got. Tell me what kind of disease you got that troubles you. Or famine, I'm hungry. No food or whatever like that going on. That ain't going to separate you. God, my wardrobe, I don't have no clothes, and what I got is raggedy and worn and torn, and that ain't going to separate you. Or danger, peril, or sword, someone trying to take your life, that's not going to separate you. All they're going to do is send you to me. As it is. Now, you need to highlight that written. Because you heard me talk about the Bible and what's in it that God have wrote to us. You heard me talk about the Holy Spirit and all that. So right here, the Bible tell you written. So if I'm preaching the written word, it stands to reason this is what God wants us to know. Are you with me? As it is written, for your sake, we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all, underline in all these things. You need to highlight, yet in all these things. Okay, then you can make your own list. But yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. You see, after all that info that's been preached and given to you, it is given to persuade you. Now, some may say, I don't care how much you preach the word of God, I'm not persuaded. Well, that's your business and your loss. I tell you what, with all we are going through, and we don't know what we're going to go through in 2020, you better start getting persuaded. See, a lot of things that we ain't doing because we ain't persuaded. Let's tell the truth about it. See, just because
Sister Christmas tree is persuaded, that don't mean nobody else is. And a lot of times Sister Christmas tree get hot with everybody else because if I'm persuaded, they probably persuaded. No. Paul says, I'm persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights or depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. My. And nothing wrong with you saying you're weak when you know the Holy Ghost is over there. See, if you keep telling him you're strong, he don't need me helping you. I don't know about you. I need his help. Am I by myself? Okay, I got some trustees and over there need the Holy Ghost help.